Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is Volume 2, Episode 7. Our air date is Thursday, April 18th, 2024. I'm your host, C. Willie, joined as always by the lovely and talented
Quarter P.
And tonight we have special guests Ron and Zach Tippin. This is Wide Track is with us. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. We had a little mix up as we referred to in our Facebook page, and this is a little interesting sort of a recording session tonight. I'm actually in Frankfort, Kentucky. Quarter Peep is back at our home studio just outside of Flint. And gentlemen, you're joining us from exactly where?
We're here in Waterford, Michigan at Wide Track Studios West.
Fantastic. Ooh. All right, so we've got a little triangle that we can draw between the
triangulate.
So tell us, you know, we've had the opportunity to talk with you guys a little bit. Tell us a little bit about the evolution of Wide Track. How'd you get to the point you are today?
I started Wide Track back in 2006 and wrote three albums, self-released, all independent. And right around the time where he was 12, he said he wanted to start playing bass. So he started playing and he got really good really quickly. So he joined up with the band and I was just kind of using a skeleton crew at the time. Once he joined up, it just became the two of us creating all the albums. He does all the bass and guitar and I'll do all the vocals and drums. And
you put the songs together then, obviously, with a melding of the tracks that you're all playing individually, correct?
Yes.
And then how does that work when you're live?
We have another, we have a friend of ours who plays bass, and I'll play drums and sing, and then we'll have bass and guitar. So we actually have three people live.
Fantastic. And you started playing, Zach, at 12. Picked it up right away?
Started a little earlier. It took me a little while. I started in fourth grade. I was probably nine. Mm-hmm. And I started on guitar. But, you know, it took me a few years to really get the bug. But once I reached middle school, about 11, 12 years old, that's when I was getting really serious about playing every day and practicing and, you know, listening to all sorts of good music. So, yeah.
What were your influences?
Oh, my biggest two at the time were Rush and Tool. So,
all right,
cool progressive rock metal bands with amazing bass players. But you know, I quickly came to love Yes, King Crimson, Genesis, all those early 70s progressive rock bands, as well as you know, the classics, you know, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, and so on. And you know, that stuff is kind of in my musical DNA now.
Now, is your dad part of the inspiration that happened when you were in fourth grade? Like, hey, you know, dad introduced me to this, or is just something that, you know, you just said, hey, dad, I love what you do. And you're the one that kind of started like, hey, I want to be part of what you're doing.
That's a good question, actually, because I think a lot of people would have the expectation that if there's a musical member of the family, then it's like, okay, well, that, you know, you're going to do music because your dad does music or your uncle does music. But my dad always made a point not to push that on me. You know, he had a dad who was a football player or, you know, a football coach. And really? He made him play football. And he was like, I hate football. And so he never wanted to put me through that. So when I came to music, it was through a genuine love of, you know, looking at music and experiencing music. And, you know, I thought it was just such a cool thing. And I wanted to be a part of that rather than, you know, feeling like I had a Disney World fast pass into music or like that. I was being forced into it or anything like that.
Oh. And Ron, how does it feel playing this level of fantastic music with your son?
Oh, you know, it's great. I love it. One of the thing about it was when he started playing with me, I was just like, cool, you want to play? And I just figured, well, it'll be something we do together. There was no expectation for him to really work at. I just, if you know, maybe this will be like something he tries. At that age, kids try things. Sure. And they don't always stick with them. But then he got really good and he started showing me things that he was writing, and he was kind of familiar with the stuff that I had written prior to that. And it became quickly apparent that he was really in tune with the style. And but it also became apparent to me that it was what the music was lacking, which his skill level was beyond mine by that by a certain point. And so our music was able to really evolve. And where I was kind of handling guitar, bass, vocals, drums, you know, I was playing pretty much all the stuff on the old recordings, you know, using friends and such with for a odd track here and there. Now I could just focus on drums and vocals, and he's handling all the guitar and bass, playing stuff that I could never play. And it's right in the same vibe of the music. It really feels like an evolution. So that's what's been the most surprising thing about this all is, like, he's like the best musical partner I've ever had. Like, I played with a lot of guys in all my time, but there's always a little bit different kind of thing you're going for. You're lucky if you can get that synergy. And, you know, I just, so on that level too, it's just been phenomenally wonderful.
So it's the meld of the two of you that it works for what you want to have happen.
Yeah. That's what I like. You know, it isn't just him joining my band. It's like now he's kind of running. He's always bossing me around. Yeah.
That's
like, okay, sir.
Well, we got one queued up here. This is Unlived. Tell us a little bit about this tune and how it came about.
Yeah, so this one started with just a drum idea, and I wrote some guitar to it, and this whole song kind of came together. You know, just from very broad strokes. And it was one of the first ones that we had written for our newest album, which is our second album together. So this was the first thing that we had written kind of with the foresight of what had come from the previous album. So putting out a whole album, recording and doing it all ourselves, we learned a lot along the way. And so this was, you know, our first chance to get a really good revision in and to really
for the next steps for you
hone our sound.
Yeah.
The video was a lot of fun to make because I took all the footage of that he and I from the writing of this song. It, you know, the album came together over the course of about 2.5 years. So I took all the video of us playing all the different gigs and recording sessions of this song, and I kind of did a mashup of it all into the video. And it's just, it was a nice little walk down memory lane of, you know, a nice little document of all the memories we've made over the course of these past couple of years making this album.
That's so cool. What is the name of the new album? Because this is a new release, correct?
Yeah. It's called Monoliths. And it's got 8 songs. That was something that he was adamant about too. I used to put right around an hour's worth of music on an album. And he said, Dad, nobody's going to listen to all that in this day and age.
Well, think about all the great vinyl records, you know, that you can sit and listen to in one sitting.
That's how he sold me on it, actually. You know? I was like, okay. Yeah.
Like all the best albums in our books where they have no songs that you skip. They're all, you know, roughly 45 minutes and they fit on an LP. And
there you go.
You know?
That is so cool.
All right, well, let's give this one a spin. This is Unlive.
Something inside we
I like that song. That's wide track, Unlived. That's a great piece of music, guys.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
And we were talking about your new album, and I was looking at the cover of this album. It's pretty cool. It looks like three tall buildings and an ocean. Is there a story behind the creativity on that? It's really cool.
Yeah, I came across the image. I contacted the person that created it, and we had a conversation about AI artwork. And it's like, man, this will be probably the last chance to do something like that before everybody gets sick of seeing AI stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I didn't realize it was AI at first. I thought it was just something somebody had kind of put together, and I guess they must have put it together.
Yeah, they at least give the thought behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we thought it kind of represented a sort of a callback to, like, the 2001 Space Odyssey, sort of beginning of that movie with the big monolith and all that. And so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so those who are listening, definitely check it out. It's really cool.
Yes. No question.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the creative process with you guys. When you're putting this together, when you're writing your music, is there something that you follow? Is it just a feeling? Is it one playing off the other? How does that all go about for you?
So there's a couple different ways that we've written songs. A lot of the ones that we've played live have been kind of, they start with a drum beat. And, you know, to me, the drums sound like almost a complete song in and of themselves. So without any guitars or vocals, there's still different parts that are recalled, and, you know, there's progression to it. And so I like that a lot, because whenever I put to it, the song is kind of already, the framework is already there.
Yeah.
So there's been songs like Unlived that we've written with the drums first, and then I'll put something on top, or like from our other album, Tribal and Martyr, those two songs as well, songs that we've been playing live. And then there's kind of the flip end, where I'll come in with an idea, and then my dad will have to write drums to it. And unfortunately for him, a lot of the ideas that I like are in crazy time signatures, and they take him forever to hash out. But
that's one of the things that I didn't mention about him coming into this, is that when his level of musicianship kind of got, it's caused me to, because I'll go to write a drum part to the things that he's writing, and a lot of times that old man inside me rebels against it. You know, it's like, I don't want to work this hard on something, you know. And I've actually been in here, I'm always by myself when I'm trying to work out what I'm doing. So I'll throw my drumsticks, I'll throw a little tantrum. And then I'll, you know, I've even like texted him and said, I can't get this. And he's just really cool about it. He'll be like, we don't have to work on it if you don't want to. And I'll be like, oh, I'm going to get this. And at the end of it, I kind of just think about the whole thing I just went through. And I'm like, wow, you can say that you want to never grow old and you don't ever, but your age and all these things in you will rebel against pushing yourself. To a level that you still are capable of, but it's not as easy to attain it. So that's just been such a cool thing, and something that I've really enjoyed becoming aware of and getting better at it as I get older. And
well, and what a different level it puts the music on then, when you're challenging yourself to do something, getting out of your comfort zone and doing some things that perhaps you would have not done previous. Where that takes the music is a completely different step than your traditional band that's just playing the same sorts of progression.
I mean, that's it, that really the in essence, it is progressive, because it causes us to progress. And, you know, there's things that like he said, where if I'm in here, you know, it's kind of like a self-generating thing where that'll cause me to want to practice more, and I'll record myself while I'm practicing. I'll come up with new ideas, and I'll throw it at him. I'll say, hey, check, what do you think of that? Mm-hmm. And he'll write things to that, and that'll bring things out of him. That'll challenge him in a healthy way. So it's just been a really great collaboration, and it's nice that just the two of us can do it. We brought in other musicians from time to time to do little spots just for fun. But it's nice to know that the two of us are capable of, you know, and I just kind of, you know, I've already got like three of the albums that I wrote all by myself. So with this new music, I've kind of let him take the reins with it more and guide it along. And I try to open my mind to what he's doing. And it's just been nothing but beneficial to do it like that.
That's fantastic. So cool.
Well, talk a little bit. I mean, you've got a big sound. You know, it really, you fill every aspect of what there is to be listening to. How does that translate to your live shows then?
Well, you know, like with a lot of bands, you're always trying to balance what you're capable of doing in the recording studio to make the song. It ultimately comes down to serving the song in mm-hmm. the studio. If it needs more parts than we would be able to capable of playing live, we've tossed around the idea of maybe playing with some pre-recorded tracks or, you know, bringing in other musicians and stuff like that. We were just doing, because we wanted to see if we could do it. We did like about 2 years of shows with just the two of us. Mm-hmm. And what you find is people kind of hear with their eyes when you're playing live. They don't notice all the stuff that's missing from it.
Sure.
And we were kind of like really hyper sensitive about that. And we asked people all along, hey, is this sounding empty to you? And people are like, it works, you know, but we have brought in a bass player. And that really makes it, now it sounds like a real, real band.
But having three guys, you know, before with just the two of us, it was, you know, every song is, you know, the height of our capabilities to, sure. you know, fill as much space as possible. Okay. And when one thing, you know, doesn't quite come out as clearly, you know, it's this big void. So having a third guy, it just helps make things feel smooth. You know, you're playing live, you can focus more on the audience and more on the space rather than just, you know, that, being in yeah. rehearsal mode or like, you know, perfectionist mode.
That makes a lot of sense. The next one we've got queued up for you is Virtue. Tell us a little bit about this.
So this was the third song that we ever wrote together. This began when I was in seventh grade. So I was 13 or so. And I remember we had written this song and it was maybe about 90% done. And, you know, it just wasn't quite a perfect fit for the album. But I remember feeling like, oh, this was a turning point. You know, we really, you know, we wrote the kind of thing that I want to keep writing from now on. Mm-hmm. But for the longest time, we sat on the song. And then in this album, we kind of revamped it, added some more elements to it, and kind of gave it the same essence that we were feeling now in this time period. And so we brought it to the future. And I think it's turned into one of our favorites. You know, it's got a really poignant message. And, you know, it's takes you to a lot of different places. You know, it holds a special place, especially for us, you know, having such history.
Fantastic. You said there's a message in the song. What kind of message is that?
Oh, well, you know, we like people to get their own thing out of the lyrics and stuff, but it's kind of a workplace type scenario, and the woman is the center of the idea. But I was inspired by an episode of Law and Order.
All right.
The episode was called Virtue. And so if you watch that, you pretty much know what the song is.
Okay. All right. You can watch that.
Well, let's give it a listen. This is Virtue.
Life is hard, girl, you won't rest.
Excellent, excellent.
I love it. Yes.
You know, you're right. It does take you to a lot of different places in that song. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
That should be on that episode. They need to revise that. And that's the theme song. That's really good.
Thank you.
So I just need to clarify this, Zach. You know, we've talked a lot about junior high and so forth. How old are you, boy?
I'll be 20 in 2 weeks.
All right. Okay. We've got this thing with the younger performers now. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had Blue Sky Riley on here at 16 years old. And next week, we've got Ariana Smith. And I think she's 18, 19, 20.
18, 19.
You guys are taking
That's
over.
Fantastic. I love it.
It's great.
You guys are taking over.
Yeah.
I still think about, you know, hearing how old like Jimmy Page was when he started Led Zeppelin or... When Led Zeppelin 4 came out, I'm like, what? I've only got, you know, so.
You're on your way.
Yeah. I'm like, certainly I'm pretty busy, you know. I'm supposed to have started Led Zeppelin by now. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've got the talent for it, Zach.
Yeah, you guys
are both incredible.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
It's been very, very enjoyable. Tell us what's on the horizon for Wide Track. What are you guys looking at coming down the road here?
Well, we're currently recording some new material. This stuff is kind of, again, in another direction. But maintains the same elements, and really it's just been a blast to go on the journey of trying different methods of writing and different styles of songs. So we hope to have something out
very soon.
Within the next month or two, so. Or,
fantastic.
But yeah, we've been kind of talking about the future of our next release. And how, you know, how long it'll be or how many songs. There'll be a full album or an EP, so.
Not going to be an hour?
trying. Well, it's funny. It's like nobody's really, everything is streaming now. So it makes more sense for bands to put out a song, like a song a month or every 6 weeks, which is that the first album that he and I did together, over the course of the first year, 2019, we put out a song each month. We wrote and recorded a song each. And by the time we got to the end of the 12th song, it was just, we were so burnt. And we also kind of felt disappointed with a few of the songs that we didn't have enough time for them to really evolve. And so it was an experiment that we're glad we did. But now we're like, you know, I guess we just don't do it the way that everybody else does it these days. We'd rather spend some time with a song and leave it alone for a little while, play it out for a little while. And then we find that a song and the recording of it too. He does all of our recordings.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's time to really digest something and see what it needs and see where it could be improved upon. And, you know, for us, like the where you really judge how good something is, it's like, well, how do you feel about it in 6 months? Because everything new is, you always like everything new.
It's just like
but over time, what stuff will really last?
You
and
bet.
That was part of what took us so long to do this last album was every song on it, you know, a year later, do we still like this, you know?
Yeah. So, it gives it an opportunity to mature, really. It ages the song.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have another queued up here. This is called Pendulum. Tell me a little bit about Pendulum.
So this is one that I started the guitar part for. So there was just guitar for this song. I think the whole thing. And I gave it to my dad. And this is... one of many that he's been, you know, I'll give it to him and the same night he'll text me back and say, I've been working on this for the past 4 hours. I don't think I don't even think this is a good song anymore. You know, it's just not working out. I'm like, yeah, it's okay. But, you know, always, you know, he always comes back and says, you know what, I got this, you know, and he writes something way cooler than I ever had anticipated. So
yeah, there was a time where I said, well, why don't you take some drumming, virtual drumming software and just throw a beat on this so I kind of know where it's. And he's like, I don't want to do that because it'll always be different than what you write to it.
Yeah.
And it's funny going over that process. It's quite a life lesson because once I get familiar with the song, after I go through that initial, it's like a boot camp every time I learn a song. But he writes, but once I get it, now I'm like, how is this ever hard? This isn't difficult at all now that I can do it. I think part of it is just it's all, and we both have been music teachers. Like, he gives lessons a lot now. I used to give lessons, and we would always tell our students, it's not difficult. It's just unfamiliar.
Sure.
And so that was always like a big epiphany that we had, like that distinction that it's more unfamiliar than it is difficult. It's still difficult, but you can get over that. And then once you get used to this idea, it can really become easier.
Yeah, so this one is one of our more difficult songs. But, you know, a lot of bands, when they write difficult stuff, it's kind of atonal and, you know, jerky and all that. So we tried to write something that was difficult, but that when we're playing it live, you know, gets people grooving and, you know, draws from different influences other than just, you know, basic sort of rock beats. So we have some interesting grooves that are hopefully still, you know, primordially effective, you know?
Well, let's give it a listen. This is Pendulum.
Skin to fall in.
we like.
That I'm not worthy sign right now.
It's a really interesting track in that you do with the drums too. I can hear what you're talking about. That's really fascinating what you did there.
Oh, thank you. I blame him.
That's who I blame. This has really been very, very enjoyable. I really love your music, and just a pleasure talking with you guys this evening.
Well, thank you.
Thank you both.
We enjoyed talking with you as well.
How do folks find you? Give us a little idea where you're going to be, social media, all sorts of things there.
Yeah, most of our social media is at Wide Track Band. We're at widetrackband.com. And we always say follow at Wide Track Band, subscribe widetrackmusic.com. So those are pretty much, that's pretty much
it. It's, feel free to drop us a line on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, you know. We love kind of having that back and forth, personal connection with fans it's talk about music and all that. So, yeah.
And you've got the new project coming out here within the next couple of months. We're going to be seeing some new music released.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Can you tell us about the Wide Track Chronicles?
A friend of ours, she just said that, I can't. I was blogging, early on when he joined. And she said, I can't wait to see the next issue of the Wide Track Chronicles. I said, I'm going to steal that. that's just, I'm always trying to, I document every second of this. I've got a ridiculous amount of video and audio, and ever since he was born, really. But, I figured for posterity or for nothing else for him to have one day, but.
We get to be my age. You're going to be looking back at that a lot.
That's
great that you're doing that. That's absolutely fantastic.
But it's really cool. I've read a couple of them, and I think that's a fantastic idea because obviously it's something the fans can follow, but obviously it's personal to you too, just to see you guys grow. And I'm really excited to see the growth that you two are going to have. I think you two are going to go somewhere.
Thank you so much.
No, you're welcome.
Hey, well, thanks a lot for being on the show. I think that's getting to be a wrap for us this evening. We'd like to thank one more time our special guest, Wide Track, Ron and Zach. Thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Pleasure.
Appreciate you having us.
Thank you.
And for all of you out there listening in podcast land, don't forget to follow us on Spotify. Maybe follow us there. Check us out on Facebook. We're at Vehicle City Sound. If you want to get in touch with us, maybe book a spot on the show, as Ron and Zach did, you can certainly drop us an email at vehiclecitysound@gmail.com.
And then don't forget.
Next week,
we actually have Ariana Smith. That name might sound familiar. So next week, definitely tune in and you'll know why.
You bet. Hey, thanks again, guys. Wide Track with us tonight. You all have a great one and be good.
Thank you very much.